1 Corinthians chapter 1. Actually thought I might preach this 6 weeks ago, but the Lord had other plans. I was going to read the Amplified Version, but I don't think I will. Just read it. The King James, the Amplified Version does have a few extra expanded thoughts. I think we're really good, but let's just look at this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 26 to the end of the chapter. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen, and that in the Greek is deliberately chosen, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath deliberately chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, that is of God, are you in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I just have two main outline points. One, I want us to view ourselves as in the Scriptures and as the Scriptures teach and reveal to us. And secondly, to view our lovely and adorable Redeemer as he is made known to us, his children. So, it's the first one, us. Verses 26 through 28. This is a picture of us. Not many wise, not many mighty, not noble, foolish, weak, base, despised, things that are not. That's us. We have here a clear description of those for whom Christ came to save, those who call, for you see your calling, brethren, not many mighty are called. And these are the list of those whom he has come to redeem. Now, I ask myself this, and I ask you this. Do we see ourselves present in the text, in this roll call, or this inventory of depravity? Basically, do we meet the qualifications? If we want to claim the promises, the beautiful promises, later on in the verse, specifically verse 30, which we're going to get there eventually, but you've got to meet the qualifications of the text. Do I see ourselves present? When he was writing as a believer, he said, I am the least. I'm not, I was. You know, when I had a heart that I didn't understand, and wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's writing as a believer. And that's the believer never gets over his sinnerhood. If I can put it that way, he never gets away. The Scriptures don't allow him to think more than what we should. If a man thinks more than what the Scripture says, he deceives himself. So do we see ourselves in here? Now let's just look at this. Not wise, not many wise. That means truly intellectual. Not many mighty. That means influential. Now you may be influential in your job, but this is just a little pond. You know, we're just big fish in a little pond, so to speak. But when you step back and see that as God sees us, We're not very influential. Not many noble, that's of high or noble birth. So I would say the conclusion of these three characteristics here is that we're common. We're common. Just simple, mostly simple folk. But turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. What a comfort to see what is said regarding those who follow Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, when the Pharisees and Sadducees, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now that's unlearned as far as the letter, the law, the Pharisees, because they prided themselves in their knowledge of Scripture. They perceived that they were ignorant and or unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, but they also took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's, you know what, if that's what you want to be put on my epitaph, that's fine. Here lies an ignorant and an unlearned man. I didn't go to school for Greek or Hebrew, or I didn't go to a seminary. I don't have a seminary degree. I don't know of any seminaries that really teach the doctrines of grace. So I don't care. Here lies an ignorant and unlearned man, but he'd been with Christ. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. But let's move on. Look at verse 27. Back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God had deliberately chosen the foolish. Now, it's not going to get any less offensive, but pay attention to me. The foolish, that means dull or stupid. Now, back in the day when I was a kid, we'd call one another stupid all the time. Mom would say something occasionally, but nowadays, oh, you don't dare. It's not politically, it's not correct. Well, the Scriptures does not play those rules. The Scriptures, it lays everybody naked and open and exposed before a thrice holy God. So the word foolish, he hath chosen the foolish things. That's dull or stupid. And he says he's chosen the weak things. That is strengthless, feeble, or sick. When you're sick, you can't do much. And when you're feeble, you don't have the capacity to do a whole lot. How insulting, right? Well, not to those who know themselves through the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't go out of our way to be offensive. But we dare not bend the truth to make others comfortable. We just don't. You just don't say anything. If you can't say anything, you know, as mom and dad, you say, if you can't say anything profitable, don't speak. But let's go to verse 28. Let's see if we meet these qualifications. Now, this is highly to the flesh and to the sinful man. This is highly insulting. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I say once again, if you don't meet the qualifications here, you get nothing in the promises in verse 30. He says in verse 28, and the base things, that word base means ignoble or dishonorable of the world, and the things that are despised. That word is despised means contemptible and least esteemed. And look at this, things which are not. That's an absolute negative. Nothing. That's what it means. Now, who else has this been spoken of? Well, you think of Jacob. His name was Trickster. You know, he did what he did. But this is what the religious people of the day thought and said of our Lord. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, his mother, his brethren are right here with us in his own country, and they rejected what he said. These are things, base, despise, not. These are the thoughts and the words said regarding our Lord Jesus Christ. And did you notice that these qualities, they kept getting worse and worse, more offensive to the flesh and to the natural man? Well, I ask myself and I ask us once more, do we fit do we find ourselves here in this humanly dishonorable character list? We must take our place in the dust before God will raise us up. He'll empty us before he fills us. And I remember we got married in 82, so it was 1981 or 82, the first time we had Henry preach, come down here to preach. The first meeting, he stood up there and was preaching, and he just stopped and he said, "Are there any sinners here? Are there any sinners here?" He said, "If so, Christ died for you." And he said the same thing years ago, and he said he was preaching a meeting, and one man held up his hand. He said, "Christ died for you. Everybody else, you just pack up and leave." Sinners, this is what we are. This is an expanded list, an inventory of what we are. But look at verse 30. And this is said that no flesh should glory in his presence, verse 29. But look at verse 30. But, let's just stop right there. But, oh, blessed but. There's infinitely more here in our text. Oh, joy beyond compare. Humility expresses itself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, oh my, was there ever any love like this in Christ? Revealed to the lost sons and daughters of Adam's race. But of him, not us, but of him, of who? This is God. But of God, not us. We didn't initiate this thing of salvation. But of him, of God, the sovereign, the majestic, the Almighty, the one whose counsel stands and shall not fail. This is what follows after this connecting conjunction. But, break, but, of him, of God, outside of ourselves. God has placed us solely and on purpose with full intent in Christ Jesus. But of him, of God, are you in? Who's ye? The base, the despised, the things which are not, the foolish, the weak. These are the ones in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And this is all through faith. It's not of ourselves. Faith in his blood. After we heard the word of truth, says Ephesians 1 verse 3. After you heard the word of truth and belief of this truth. But I really want to emphasize these four characteristics, these four qualities that we have in Christ. If we're believers, we have this in Christ. Whether you're a believer 1 day old, 2 days old, or 50 years, you have this. And I want us to take advantage of these promises. This is a promise. This is a promise. So as Spurgeon says, if you don't know if it's for you, just write on the side and then come back to it and say, I'm thus, thus, and thus. But thankfully, you're made unto me these things. You're made unto me these things. Christ is made, that is, he became, or he becomes, or caused to be wisdom. And I want us to see that in the Christ being made unto the believer, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything is provided for the sheep. There's nothing that he's given us that has not been provided freely, and there's no more that we need. There's not a single blessing withheld. First, let's look at these individually. Christ is made unto the believer wisdom. View our Lord as infinite wisdom, and view ourselves as foolish, ignorant, unable to see the way, puzzled, perplexed by 1,000 difficulties, harassed by sin, tempted by Satan, out of Jehovah's way. How can we understand this truth? How can we understand this gospel when it's being preached? Some of us have sat here, and listened and still it doesn't affect. How can we believe? How can I understand? How can I understand this mysterious gospel this everlasting hope that we have in the Beloved, plead His wisdom. Plead His wisdom. He's made unto us the very wisdom of God. He has made unto us wisdom, so we shall not miss the road to glory. So I'm not very smart. I'm one of these weak ones. I'm one of these despised ones. But in and of yourself, you can't. You won't. But plead Christ, your wisdom. The road, He'll reveal the road. So He will reveal, we will not be utterly lost as to our heavenly calling. He is our wisdom so as to let we will be where we need to be. We will be where we finally need to be, end up in glory. He has made unto us earthly as well as heavenly wisdom. We need the wisdom of God because we have none spiritual. We have no spiritual wisdom. But why do we not ask for wisdom today? One of the passages of scriptures I love more and more because of my weakness is James. If any man, any woman lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraideth not. In their situation, go to work. Because to the spiritual man, all things are spiritual. You go to work, it's not spiritual. Yes, if you're a believer, all these things are, whether you're retired or you work. You go and you're confronted with a situation. I don't know how to deal with it. He's our wisdom. Ask and you shall receive. I don't understand this gospel. You talk to your parents. I don't understand what the preacher is saying. Go over it with them. Say, ask for wisdom. Because Christ is your wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. Ask wisdom now as well as heavenly wisdom. Wisdom is needed now. Let us, lest we fail and falter. He opens up the way plain and clear to us along our journey and illuminates the pages of this book. He opens the mind and heart to receive the proclaimed word, to act wisely to its commands, demands, and promises. That's why in the book of Proverbs there's so much about wisdom, which wisdom is Christ. And he says, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get wisdom. And that pearl of great price, that's Christ. You find that pearl of great price, and so you're going to hang on to this other stuff? No. You're going to get rid of it and hang on to that which is most precious. You have to work in this world. You have to pay taxes. You do those things honorably. You go to school. You learn. We're not saying you don't be a slack. No, you do everything to the glory and honor of Christ. But in all you're seeking, don't seek riches, don't seek wealth, don't seek intellectualism. Seek Christ. He'll never fail you. He will not fail you. Wisdom. Wisdom. And what happens when we wander? And we all will. I do. We all will. He's with us. And with His lovingly insight, which is another word for wisdom, He brings us back to Himself. If we stumble, He picks us up. Whatever our trouble, our issues, our circumstances warrant, He has made our wisdom for our everyday security, our peace, and our help. Turn to Isaiah 35. I really like this. Isaiah 35, because this is me. You just have to chuckle and then weep because it's so true. It's us. It's us all over the place. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. This is the provision of the Lord. He's made unto us wisdom. But look at this. Isaiah 35:8. And a highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. That's the gospel. That's Christ. That's truth. A way of wisdom. The unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, wayfaring woman, though foolish, shall not err therein. I'm just not very smart. That's okay. You don't have to keep yourself. You don't have to keep yourself. They shall find this way. How? Because Christ is their wisdom. It's the way of holiness. It's the way of heavenly wisdom. Though fools shall not err therein. and shall not err therein. Wisdom. Ask now and it's, you shall receive. There's no issue too small or insignificant. I used to think that, well, I don't, you know, I got a problem with the money or whatever. No, bring everything. Lay it all before Him. There's nothing too small or too insignificant. He is our wisdom, as He has revealed His divine decree of salvation through the blood and even the forgiveness of sins. That's the first wisdom we need. But there's more. Look back in our text. Christ is of God. Are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness? That simply means He has placed us in Christ. Thereby we have right standing. Right standing with God. And He's given us His own righteousness evermore. Actually and truly giving us uprightness before Him and His holiness. In Jeremiah 23, verse 6, what does it say? Jehovah Tsidkenu. What's that mean? That's fancy. The Lord our righteousness. You plead His wisdom. I'm blind. And I can't see. But I need to see. You're like that prodigal son. You spent all your living and you spent all your inheritance. And you're eating swine. You're eating the husk the swine did eat. And then God's grace and wisdom opens your eyes and you go right back to the Father. And you plead. You say, I'm not worthy. I'm foolish. I was base. I was naught. But He don't want to hear that. He just hugs you and He puts the best robe on you and the ring. You got His righteousness. You have it all. Jehovah Tsidkenu. And thirdly, there's more. Look at this. Not only is He our wisdom, He allows us to find Him. Like those cities of refuge. There was arrows pointing. This is the way. Find it. This is the way. Walk therein. And He is our righteousness. He's our sanctification. You ever have any trouble with sin? You ever have any trouble with the flesh? You ever have trouble with the influences of sin? Daily corruptions within? But He still sets you apart. You're still sanctified in His sight. You can truly acknowledge He is my sanctification. Or you can say as John Newton, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be. But thank God, I'm not what I used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm sanctified. Or you could say, better yet, as Paul in Ephesians 1, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Or you can say, as Paul told Timothy, you're made meet for the Master's use. All these because you're sanctified, past tense, in Christ. Lastly, there's a fourth characteristic, sanctification and redemption. He by Himself, when He had purchased our redemption, that word is ransom, when He was ransomed for us, He sat down on high, signifying the work is completed, it's finished, and He sealed to us our exceeding good hope. The penalty of sin is gone. The curse of the law, gone. The wrath of the Father, settled. And we are free. This word redemption, I love, our folks know this, I use this illustration all the time. When you women redeem coupons, what are you doing? You're taking and you cut out the coupons. You're giving that coupon, in order to redeem it, you give it back to whose it is. It's the stores. If it's a McDonald's coupon, it's McDonald's or originated. They printed it up. It's theirs. When we're redeemed, He's buying back His own people. We are His before the foundation of the world. He is ransomed. He's redeemed us. He's paid the penalty. All of it. Stem to stern, Alpha to Omega. The prison doors are open. The chains fell off. And we're free. That's why I love it in Galatians. He says in Galatians, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Don't let a preacher, don't let a friend put you under bondage. You're free in Christ. Now you're free, and some people will abuse that. Don't use your liberty for a, you know, cloak for maliciousness. No, we don't do things because we're free in Christ. And we had this one guy years ago, he said, how much sin can I get away with and still be? It's a lot. You don't do that. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We do what we do because we love. The love of Christ constrains us. But it's still, the fact of the matter is, we are in Christ because God has placed us there. And Christ of God is made unto us the very wisdom of God, Christ, God's righteousness. We need to have holiness, and He's supplied that. We need to have sanctification. He's done so, and redemption. And He's made all these things to us. Now, I pause, and I ask myself, why is salvation, or why the way to glory? Why is it this way? Why is it this one way? Very specific, very narrow, narrow path. Why is it this way? Why is it all of grace? That he that glorieth may glory in the Lord. Because I know you, and you know me, and I know myself. If we can steal just a little glory and say, I walk that aisle, I exercise my free will, I work my way. No, only one man ever in the history of the universe worked his way to glory. That's Christ. He's the only one that worked his way to glory. And we are in him. So that's why, as according as written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now I close with this. Let us therefore then be about glorifying our Master, Lord, and Savior. Above all things, and above all else, let us be about glorifying Him in our work, in our stay, in our home, outside of home, raising our children. Let us glorify the Lord in all that we do. Now, I want to close with Isaiah 22:23. I had to get this verse in here, so I stuck it at the end. Isaiah 22. And I've said this before, if you talk to a financial advisor, work on a portfolio, if you have all that stuff, which you know you probably should, they're going to tell you to diversify. The gospel says, put all your eggs in one basket. Don't you dare. Don't you dare diversify. Don't you dare take your eyes off of me, Christ. Don't you dare seek other gods. Don't you dare. You, here we are, Isaiah 22, verse 23. And I, says God, will fasten him. Who's him? It's Christ. Isaiah 22, 23. And I, God, will fasten him, Christ, as a nail in a sure place. God has fixed his son as a nail in a sure place. May we hang everything on him. Because that nail is a sure place. Now, I should look at that word sure. I like looking up words. You know what it is. It's a sure. It's not going anywhere. It's steadfast. It's stable. Let us hang our all in all on that nail, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he isn't going anywhere. And he has satisfied every jot and tittle that the Father threw his way for us. Who of God is made us? Who? The worst, the lowest, the feeblest, the foolish. How simple-minded can we be to come in Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and hear the same old message? Like Maurice made a comment years ago, if somebody begins to tire of the gospel, he wonders if they ever really loved the gospel. That is Christ. Hang everything. He's that nail. He's in a sure place, set there by God. foreordained, predestinated before time was. As he says in Proverbs 8, he was with the Father when the mountains were. You remember that passage? He was with the Father when the Father was creating all these different things. I was there with him as one by him. And then he says, my delights, this is Christ speaking in Proverbs, my delights were with the sons of men. Who could have thought or written such a story? Only God himself. So let us trust whom God has trusted to put everything in his hands. And then we're safe. And everything that comes by, we're not saying think life's going to be easy. It's going to be tough. But you're in him. You're safe. You're safe and sound. May the Lord honor the preaching of his word. Bruce, would you close us, please?